It's your SNL Stand By Line podcast with your hosts, Jill and Amanda.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the Stand By Line. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jill.
And today we're talking about season 45, episode 10. It's Eddie Murphy and Lizzo.
Yes.
That's, I mean, quite a show.
It really was.
Yeah, it's quite a lineup. How could it not be an epic show? First up, just a little bit of news. Melissa Villaseñor has some shows coming up in Houston. It's going to be December 27th, 28th, and 29th. If you go to her Instagram, which is Melissa V Comedy, she has a post up. You can click on that post, get some details, buy some tickets, go out and support our girl Melissa.
Yes.
That's all the news that I have for this week.
I don't have any news.
I guess because we like record every week, so we don't like gather up a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and they're on like Christmas break and break right now, so there's not a lot of news. I'm sick. That's why I sound like this.
We saw Bombshell.
Oh, yeah. We just got back from Bombshell.
It was good.
It was really good. Kate was good in it. She was in it very little, but she was good.
It's cool to see people that we know from SNL, like even just hosting, be in movies and stuff with Kate.
Like who?
Well, like Charlize and Margo.
Yeah, but we haven't seen her.
No, but I mean like knowing they were on SNL with Kate, already knows them and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was cool. She did a good job.
She did. I was proud of her.
It was different than her other roles.
Yeah, which was great.
The first time it was something different.
I could see that.
It was. Okay, I'm not going to be doing a lot of talking this episode because I am sick from probably doing 10 weeks of standby line.
We have not had a chance to rest since October.
Yeah.
So, we'll go straight into it. I'll be doing a lot of the talking, I guess. You're welcome, all. Cold open. First thing about cold open is in the dress rehearsal, Colin was on his knees when he was playing Pete Buttigieg, which he usually is when he does these cold opens as Pete. I don't know if maybe that was hurting him. Whatever the case, he was standing in live, and you can see that when it like goes to him and stuff like that. Maybe it's because there were other characters who were going to be in like in the frame with him. I don't know.
And for Alex's part for this, instead of having him like over on like, I don't know, another part of the like studio in just his own set, like they normally have it, they didn't do that. They had him hidden, but he was hidden like it was almost like a backwards set. So it was like a backwards, it was like a box that he was in. But the box was like right next to the main stage where the debate was taking place. And he had to kind of come out in like almost like a maze. So he was, instead of, like, he wasn't backstage, he wasn't in his own set, he was, like, hidden in this, like, box set type thing that was right next to the debate, and then he walked out from there, and I guess they wanted it to be a big reveal or something, I don't know.
Yeah, which is kind of the same thing as where Kate was when she changed, because that was amazing for her to play both of those characters, Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, tell the people how she did that.
Well, she, when the camera went off of her after her last line as Elizabeth, she went off stage, like, to, like, stage right, and she was behind a set piece similar to Alex.
They had two set pieces waiting for her that they kind of formed together to make, like, a pyramid.
Yeah, like, L-shapes is kind of what it was. And she was in there, and she got hair, makeup, and changed clothes in, like, right beside the stage so she could come back out.
They had her team there ready and waiting to go, and they, like, closed her up in there so nobody could see. They closed her up more in live than they did dress. And nobody could see it no matter where you were sitting. And they had her closed up real good. And they did it all in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, which I mean, it's the same thing as like a typical quick change, only they didn't have the time to take her out of the studio to do it. They had to like do it behind a set piece.
But this was like a quick change.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it was a very fast, quick
change. I mean, they had to like do her face and it was wild.
Yeah.
Wild. And so that was done. I mean, literally, she went off stage right to the right and
yeah, it was
in
amazing.
This little hidey hole.
It was incredible, honestly.
In dress, Alec had said, like when he was introducing Andrew Yang, he was like,
when he was making up new names to tease them with.
In dress, he was like, Andrew Yang. And he was like, that one stays as is. And he like drew it out really loud and long. But in live, he didn't say that or do that. He just said, Andrew Yang, that stays how it is. So that was different. And then, like, when Nancy came out, instead of saying, like, oh, Nancy Pelosi, she, like, snuck up on him and scared him. And he was like, oh, Krampus. So that was just changed very slightly.
Yeah, it was. And then Jill says it was also cut a little short.
It was cut a little short. Like, Kate's part as Nancy was cut just a tad short.
Oh, yeah, a little
bit. And, like,
bit.
The ending was a tad short. Because when they also, said live from New York, she was right there, but she had gone away.
She had gone off stage and come back.
She had gone off stage and come back.
Yeah, also, tell the people about how they changed Cecily's Tulsi.
So when Cecily did Tulsi in Dress, the joke was that, I'll get you my little...
In live, it was, I'll get you my party.
No, but in whatever.
Oh, in Dress, she was asking, she was going to take your voice.
Well, no, was she saying she was going after the Democrats or the Republicans?
Neither.
Yeah, she did, because in Dress, she was like, I'll be back for you or something, Democrats, and I'll take your voice or whatever. And then she was parroting Ursula, and then she, like, threw her head back and did, like, the, I can't do this part because I'm sick. Yeah. Yeah, she did that. And so she was being Ursula. So she made an Ursula joke about voices and getting them. But in live, she made a joke about Wizard of Oz, and she was the Wicked Witch of the West.
I really wish they had stuck with Ursula, and every time they bring her back, she could be a different Disney villain. That would be funny.
I think that's what they're going for.
Except they changed it, and they did Wizard of Oz instead of Ursula.
I mean, it's not Disney, but, you know, it's kind of like all the same concept. Like, she's playing evil villains, like evil...
Like childhood villains.
Yeah, like evil child movie villains.
Speaking of Cecily, we could see her laughing so hard at...
Because she was off stage the whole time as Tulsi.
And she was laughing so hard at Larry David as Bernie that her shoulders were shaking. Next up, we had the monologue. It was pretty much all the same as far as we could tell. One thing that was really remarkable was that it wasn't so much on the floor, but in the balcony... When Eddie came out during the monologue, you know, after they've announced him in the credits or whatever, everyone in the balcony stood to give him a standing ovation, which I have never seen. And this was my 30th show. I hit 30 this show, and I've never seen that in all of my 30 shows.
It happened in both Dress and live. He got standing ovation.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
No, me neither. First sketch up was Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. First thing we noticed was that Eddie was wearing a different wig in dress rehearsal, which I guess I'm thinking that maybe they changed it because they wanted more gray in it for live. He also, on live, had a hard time tying his shoes, but he kind of covered that pretty smoothly.
Yeah, it was cool to watch because, like, originally when he sat down, he went to tie both his shoes. You could tell the second one or the, I forget which one, if it was the second one or the first, he had a hard time, but then he put it down and he did the other one and he picked the other one back up and got it. But, like, you could tell... Go back and watch it, and, like, he does a very smooth job of it.
He does. Also, in this one, there was, like, this whole bit about how he got all the Amazon boxes from the lobby, not just the TV, and they were all, like, stacked up around the TV, and he said he was naming the things that were in them, like, I don't even remember. One was,
he
like,
said,
a...
He said, like, a Keurig, ninja... a ninja blender, a juicer.
And he was like, I don't have any use for this, but the pawn shop man
does.
He
said, Mr. Robinson doesn't have any use for this, but the pawn shop does.
Yeah, exactly. When he was doing the racist bit in dress rehearsal, that was kind of drawn out a little bit longer. And instead of cutting straight to, you know, those people, they're racist, it was a joke about, like, do you know that word, boys and girls? That's the thing white people are most scared of being called, a racist.
I really liked the part about the Amazon boxes. I was sad they took that out.
Yeah, it was really funny. And then the Home for the Holidays digital was somewhere in the episode. That was all the same as far as we could tell, really. I noticed one minor edit, but it's not even worth mentioning. The next is the baking show.
In the beginning of this, the judges talked a little bit, like, about themselves and more about, like, explaining what the competition idea was. I can see why it was cut. It wasn't necessary for the sketch, but they just cut that.
No, so they just kind of rushed it a little. Yeah. When Eddie's hedgehog,
did you see this and notice it?
I didn't notice it, but
I'll tell it. Okay. So, like, when his hedgehog caught on fire, I heard it. It made a sound, and if you go back and you watch it, you can hear it. It makes, like, a click sound or something that it wasn't supposed to, and it went. The flame, when it clicked on, went bigger than it was supposed to, and Eddie, like, got startled and jumped back, and he was, like, trying to blow at it, and, I mean, clearly the spark was just a little bigger than they wanted it to be.
That's funny. Also, Cecily was pretty tickled by the hedgehog cake. She did that thing where her lip, like, her mouth was curling while she was trying not to laugh. Next up was the masked singer. And one thing I noticed is they cut Kate's second line from dress rehearsal in dress, like, when Melissa said the thing about, we've missed you for the last 30 years, they had cut to Kate's Jenny McCarthy to get her commentary. And Kate said, we think you're the best singer ever. But they cut that. They also drew out the who do you think it is part. You know, that whole thing where they're asking the judges who it is.
Oh, you mean they drew it out more in dress?
Yes.
Yeah, they in dress, they asked each of the judges and they each said, like, avert, like, their joke of saying, yeah, it's definitely Buckwheat.
Right. And then live, they just all said it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rushed, but it was mostly the same. And one thing I noticed was then in dress rehearsal, Melissa laughed when Eddie was, as Buckwheat was doing the R-E-S-P-E-C-T part, which he messed up in live.
He didn't mess it up. The prompter messed it up, I thought. Or he came in too early. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he came in too early. The way that Maya came in too early when she was doing her Kamala song.
Oh my God, we loved Kamala. We loved her as Kamala, that song.
It's pronounced Kamala. It rhymes with Pamela.
It was so good.
I really liked the line, you could have had a bad bitch. I was like, she right. So first up was Lizzo's first performance. It was amazing. I mean, everything she does is amazing. We had been trying to figure out which songs, which we just listened back, and Jill predicted Christmas song and Good as Hell. But the first song was Truth Hurts. I mean, all I'm saying is she tore it up and we tore it up too.
I just really thought because it was the Christmas show she'd do a Christmas song, but
nobody knows it.
Well, I was happily surprised.
Yeah. So it was amazing. In dress rehearsal, Kate was in her bald cap and sweatshirt, like out on the floor watching it.
And I think like her slippers.
Yeah. And our friend Linnea, hi Linnea, said that she almost got taken out by a roll of flooring. Like as in the prop guys were bringing this flooring out from the back and they were running
with it. And they're not looking when they're running with stuff on the floor. No, they're just going where they're going. They assume everyone's getting out of their way.
So they were running with it like, and they were coming out from the hallway and that's where Kate was standing to watch Lizzo. And she had to, like, literally, like, bend backwards in order to not get taken out by this, like, roll of flooring. And then at the end of Lizzo's performance, I saw Kate running, like, back to the hallway in her little doofus bald cap. And she jumped in the air and threw her arms up. Like, she was just so psyched by it. It was a pretty cute thing to see. Also, Cecily watched from the floor, and in live, Adi did that as well.
And Bowen.
And Bowen. I forgot about Bowen.
I'm pretty sure Cecily did. I'm pretty sure I saw her. We don't know. I don't know for a fact, but we know Adi and Bowen for a fact were there.
Yes, and Kate.
We have a lot for Weekend Update.
We do have a lot. Mostly, I think people are curious about the jokes they wrote for each other, like that part where they said they've never read them before and never seen them. And that's not true for the most part. I think they each told 3 jokes, and in live, they each told 2 that we had heard in dress.
Well, in dress, you could tell it was true. It was the first time they had heard it.
I don't even know if that's true.
I feel like it is.
Maybe.
I think it is.
But anyway, they each told 3 in dress and 3 in live, but only 2 of them stayed the same. So there were 2 jokes that were kept in dress that you didn't hear on live, and I cannot remember them, so don't ask. And then in live, the last 2 jokes that both of them told were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So those were not in dress rehearsal. That was actually the first time they were reading them.
So to answer your question, I mean, in dress rehearsal, we're not sure. I think maybe, we don't know. It was their first time seeing it. But in live, they did repeat 2 of them. So that part wasn't true. But the new ones they did, that was
exactly
true.
Exactly. And Cecily, I don't even know that anybody had heard those jokes. Because Cecily was like off stage ready to come on as Janine Pirro, and she laughed at Colin's last joke.
Oh, and in the last joke where I can't remember who it was Pete saying, oh, when he was talking to the guy or whatever. I don't know. I can't remember, I wrote in my notes, but in live, whatever the joke was, they said racist, but in dress, they said idiot. So, I mean, that's just a word change. I don't know, but.
First up was Eddie Murphy as Gumby, which was a big deal. Jill was very, very excited about this. In dress rehearsal, when he was coming out onto, like, the desk, he knocked over the chair trying to sit in it, so I guess he had to be more careful about that in live.
And it was funny because he played, like, if you've ever been to the show, you see there's 2 guys on the side of the stage who have chairs, like, they're in charge of the chairs, so you could see the guy, like, jump on camera and like try to grab the chair, and Eddie was playing with him like he made a joke and he was like something whatever that chair to the guy.
Yeah.
And then another really minor change that really doesn't matter, but when he was like banging on the table, I forget what he was saying. He was saying Gumby or whatever. And Dress, he like said Gumby, like bang the table, God, bang the table, damn it. And so he extended that out a little more. But
in dress rehearsal, he also like he didn't do the like I'm gonna stay joke and then stay at the desk. He said, no, I'm gonna go or whatever. And he actually did go. And also, I noticed a lot of people came out to watch him do Gumby on Update. I definitely saw Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde, and, like, I think Andy Cohen was out there. And then I saw Chris Rock had come out on the floor to watch that, too. And Chris went backstage. He left once Gumby was done. Next on Update, we had Pete. So, in Dress, I felt like he kind of rambled a little more and kind of, like, jumped from topic to topic a little bit more, maybe. Something like that. Still didn't talk about the impeachment. It was roughly the same ideas. One thing I did notice, which was funny, I love the thing in Dress where they can, like, goof off a little more. Because when he was doing the Tosh.0 thing and he said, you know, he was going to be the next Tosh.0, he said, fuck that guy. Whereas in Live, he just said, I hate that guy. And then about Tyga, when he was talking about Tyga and how, like, he and Tyga look the same, he said, sorry, Tyga, I'm actually a really big fan. And he did not put that in Live. In Dress, also, when he and Colin were reading tweets, there were a lot more. Well, not a lot more. Probably, like, two more. I think Colin read two more. But I remember that one of them said, I love Pete Davidson. And Pete goes, yeah, they mean the song. And Colin was like, oh, yeah, they do mean the song. And then...
yes, the best part of the night. I was so excited when we saw her come out as Janine.
I know, and we thought for sure Pete was going to be cut from Update, but of course they ended up keeping all three. So nobody was cut from Update, but Cecily got to go on as Janine Pirro. Oh yes, God. We stan a queen.
The last time she did Janine was the finale last year.
Yes, and I love how they are pushing that, like how she threw the wine on Colin. They're pushing it to the next level.
When she first came out in Live show, she had the glass of wine, but in Dress, she did not have that.
Right. She kind of, well, one of the prop guys handed it to her in Dress.
A cool thing we just wanted to tell you about her thing. So she actually, you can see it a little bit. If you didn't notice it, you can go back and see it. In Live. She had like a tube, a clear tube, but they matched the black color for her dress. But it was a tube that went up her back. Like it was attached to her clothing, went up her back, like down her arm, and then into her hand, like the little squirt part was in her hand. And so that's how she managed to pull that off. The tube was connected to her back, and the guy who was like kneeling down, like behind her off to the side, had like a syringe, and he would pump it into the tube.
And that's how it would spray out on Colin, so those kinds of things, like her getting tickled by that, is also real because she doesn't know how it's coming out, like how much is coming out.
So in Live, she did not get herself as like soaked as she did in. I meant in Dress, she didn't get herself as soaked as in Live. So she was definitely tickled more by it. And Colin did not get as soaked, and he didn't get it in
his mouth in dress rehearsal. Also, it was a little shorter in Live. I don't remember exactly what they cut, but it was just a smidge shorter. And what did she say about Gumby?
At the end, after she said the Merry, whatever she said, Christmas part, she said, I'm Gumby. She looked at Colin, she was laughing, and she said, I'm Gumby, damn it. But you have to go back in Live and really listen for that. But she does say it, and it's...
And she did not say that in Dress.
And then, like, when she ran off stage, the handler person who was with her had to, like, walk her. It was, like, almost walking her on a leash because they had to carry the tube behind her.
Yeah, had to, like, follow her with the tube so they could, like, take it off of the dress backstage. Next sketch was Black Jeopardy, which was mostly the same, except Eddie had a hard time kind of reading the cue cards in this one, I felt, but it was pretty much the same. And, let me go back real quickly to Janine Pirro on Update.
Please.
Olivia Wilde was doubled over laughing at this, which I love. But she was also doubled over laughing at everything Eddie did and said, so she was really enjoying herself on the floor because she and Jason Sudeikis stayed down on the floor to watch the show. Like, they went back and forth on the floor to watch different parts. Then we had Lizzo do her second song of the night. For Live, there were, like, a bunch of people who came out on the floor.
It was packed. Like, packed.
Like, a humongous amount of people. So Kate definitely came out after this song in live as well and was with a couple of the writers, you know, like dancing or whatever. And the glitter falling in front of Lizzo's stage, I just wanted to say, was like closer to the camera because Lizzo's on the stage, but the glitter was falling on the floor in front of the stage, which kind of made it look a little bit bigger. And that's also a mess that, you know, they have to sweep up immediately so nobody falls on it.
Do you want to tell them how they did the glitter? How they made it fall?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, well, so they have a big, big, big giant fan, like one of those big giant ones that's the size of like a person, and they put it straight up in the air, and they have a guy who has like a bucket of glitter, and he just drops it in front of the fan so it blows up and comes down over the camera.
Oh,
so it makes it look like that. And
that's cool.
There was one little moment where Lizzo had her actual people right off to the side of the stage who are watching her and jamming.
Yeah.
And the guy in live show, I don't know. It must have been a different guy in dress because he didn't do it in dress. But he, like, they dropped down. He started dropping the glitter to drop down. And then he stopped. And Lizzo's person turned around and, like, smacked him and was like, keep going. Because I guess he was supposed to keep going and he stopped. And then it was just funny because she got so mad. She was like, smacked him. And she was like, keep going. And then he started dropping more.
That is so funny. Speaking of Lizzo's team, they were all watching, which, I mean, this is pretty typical from a musical guest. They were all watching her do her second song. And once it was over, she was, like, coming off stage with them. And all of them were jumping up and down and, like, shouting for joy and dancing. And just kind of like, you did that, Lizzo. Like, it was amazing. They were so happy.
And
Lizzo
was jumping up and down, too.
She was. Yeah, everybody was. It was really wonderful. And then, I mean, everybody was really, like, psyched about it. Even Kate was involved in a group hug. So, oh, just another tidbit Jill wrote down, which is a good thing to mention. They do mute the mics in live, like as the musical guest is performing. We saw like a couple of remarks about how the audience like sucked during the musical performance, but they mute the audience's mics. So
and it's because everyone is screaming. If they unmuted the mics, you wouldn't be able to hear the perform because everyone is screaming and singing along and not singing along, but, you know, kind of singing a little bit.
Right.
So they have to mute the mics to keep the sound quality good.
When we say mute the mics, what we mean is there are microphones dangling from the ceiling over the audience in the balcony, like everywhere.
To catch laughter.
Right. They want that to be broadcast, but they mute that. I'm pretty sure they mute it in front of the credits.
Mm-hmm. They
and
do.
And they mute it in front of the musical guest.
For the credits, it's definitely a backtrack, like a laugh track already recorded. Because they mute it for the opening credits and they mute it for the musical guest.
Yeah.
Because they need the sound quality good.
Right. And so after her performance, we had North Pole News.
This was my favorite sketch.
It was really funny. I don't remember. We were told Beck was cut from this, but I don't even remember him in dress. So I know why I can't remember what character Beck was playing. It's because I was watching Chloe because she was being very cute. I mean, it has to be a big deal to be in a sketch with Eddie Murphy on your first season. So her and Bowen, I can only imagine. But Chloe was mouthing Eddie's dialogue. Like, she was reading along to his cue card and acting it out with her facial expressions as he did. She was off camera, but she was doing that, and it was the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Also, Eddie's name was similar in dress, but it was longer than it was in live. I can't remember exactly what it was. And they called it singing at first, but it was like the polar bear growling that was coming to snatch up Mikey. That was dragged out a little bit longer. And I think the other elves were still on set in dress rehearsal. And then, you know, it snatched Mikey up and they all ran away or all of that. And in dress rehearsal, it also ended with Alex signing off instead of like Eddie doing that extreme close up. They did the extreme close-up, but that wasn't the end of the sketch because Alex had to comment on it a little more. I think he said we're having technical difficulties. And then that's it. Good nights. There were a lot of people.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So we have two cut sketches.
Yeah, because they have uploaded the one where Kenan was singing and then uploaded 80s Digital with Lizzo. That's uploaded, so you can go watch that on their YouTube.
The first one, I'm so surprised, got cut. Because it was from last year's Christmas show.
Yeah, I'm very surprised too. The first cut sketch we will talk about is going to be the Westminster Daddy Show.
Do you all remember the Daddy Show?
I remember the Daddy Show.
Bring out the daddies.
Bring out the daddies.
It was last year's Christmas show with Matt Damon.
Yeah, and he and Kate McKinnon are playing the announcers for the Daddy Show, which is the same thing as the Westminster Dog Show.
But it's daddies.
But it's daddies.
If you don't know what a daddy is a fine-looking, middle-aged man who is powerful and wealthy.
What is it they say? It takes something something to be a father, but whatever to be a daddy.
To be a daddy, yeah. Big difference between a daddy and a father. You know what?
Go back and watch the one with Matt Damon. Kate McKinnon will tell you exactly what a daddy is.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a father and a daddy.
It's true. It is true. So, basically, I mean, the sketch had the exact same premise, which, of course, is what happens with recurring sketches. But in this one, Kyle was playing, like, pretentious airplane daddy who won't let you out of the aisle seat to pee, and he, like, orders all the wine on the plane. Mikey was playing ski daddy who loves, like, he lives for fondue. I mean, it is what it was. But the funny part here, this sketch was all about Bowen. Bowen and Heidi, too, was funny, too. Bowen was playing a sugar daddy, and Heidi was his handler. So Kate was saying, like, what a sugar daddy is someone who finds women online and gives them money in return for attention and photos. And Heidi kept saying to him, sugar daddy give, sugar daddy give.
Well, because Bowen was standing there with a handful of money.
Yeah, a handful of cash.
And he was just looking around.
So he was, like, they were trying to make him perform the way you do for dogs. And so Heidi was saying, sugar daddy give. Sugar daddy give, sugar daddy pay, sugar daddy pay, and he wasn't doing
it. She said it like 10 times.
It was real funny, and he wouldn't do it. So then Kate was like, well, we'll have to bring out a treat instead or something like that. So because he wasn't responding, his baby girl is what it is, came out, and it was freaking Lizzo.
Yes.
So Bowen was playing Lizzo's sugar daddy. Can you believe this happened? And anyway, she came out and she said something like, sugar daddy give, or maybe sugar daddy spoil, or something like that. And he, like, started to hand her money, and then she, like, put her hand out again, and he asked her what it was for. And so she goes, shoes, and he handed her some money. And she goes, textbooks, and he handed her some more. And then she goes, notebooks, and he handed her another. And then, like, a new computer. And he goes, wait, I just got you a new computer. And she said, I dropped it, daddy. And so he gave her another one, or another handful of cash.
There was like a butt joke in there somewhere or something.
Probably.
And then, do you remember the part? I don't know if it was Mikey or who was the other daddy?
Kyle.
I don't know if it was Mikey or Kyle, but one of the handlers was checking like his girth and she reached her hand under.
I'm 90% sure that was Mikey.
Reached her hand. And I don't remember. I think Chloe was a handler and
Ego.
Ego was a handler. One of them reached under and, like, grabbed their, like, girth area. And she was, like, because she was trying to, like, primp his butt.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
That was funny, too. And at the end of it, Eddie ended up being Christmas daddy, and he won the daddy show.
Well, because they said, and now we have a newcomer. It's Christmas daddy. And no one came out. And Kate was like, where is Christmas daddy? And Eddie rips off his sweater, or Eddie rips off his shirt and is wearing a Christmas sweater underneath. And Kate and Eddie were on an opposite side of the studio from where the sketch was being filmed.
Right.
So Eddie had to actually run across the studio. So when Kate said, like, he is running across
the stadium
right now, he was actually running across the studio.
Yeah, he was.
And then he came out and he ran around as Christmas daddy.
Yeah, and then won the show. Next cut sketch, which can I just say again, though, how surprising and disappointing it is that the daddy show got cut.
Show.
It was amazing. That was my favorite sketch of the night, and I'm sad it was cut. So next up we had I guess it's the last cut sketch we're going to talk about. I'm calling it Ricky Washington for President. Ricky Washington, I guess, is some sort of boxer. I don't even know. This was kind of over my head, but he was like presidential candidate, or he was coming out as announcing it by doing this press conference, and he wanted to run for 2020 office. And they were asking him about things about like, well, how are you going to handle a debate with Donald Trump? And he was like, I'm going to beat his ass. And they were like, you can't actually hit him. And Ricky Wilson was like, I can do whatever I want. And then they made a joke about how, like, his last fight as a professional boxer, he had lost badly. And Ricky was saying, I told y'all that was from some bad pasta. Because, you know, I guess it had weighed him down, upset his stomach, something like that. And then one of the reporters, and I think it was Kyle, basically got into like a little fight with him, and Eddie, as this Ricky Washington guy, was like, I'll fight you right now. So Kyle comes up and he's ready to like fight, you know, rolling up his shirt sleeves or whatever. And Eddie was like, before we get started in this fight, I just want to tell you that I had some bad pasta. And then it kind of went off after that.
Obviously, there was more to the sketch, but that was pretty much the gist of it and like all we can kind of remember.
Yeah, I mean, there was a part where he was like, he was talking about how that's what every presidential candidate needs is to get their ass beat and stuff like that.
And like we said, AD Bizzo was the digital that was cut and uploaded, and Keenan Singh, the Tweedly D sketch with Eddie, was uploaded too.
Yeah, for sure. Just some miscellaneous things. In dress rehearsal, Eddie said the word shit in like every sketch. Like in the North Pole News, I think it was, he was yelling something about it being crazier than cat shit. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, he's going to mess this up in live because he keeps doing it. And he did, bigger than shit.
Yeah, but in live, he only said shit once and they bleeped it out.
Right, I know. Well, it's bleeped out on Hulu. I don't know that it was bleeped in live.
Well, he only said it once, whereas in dress, he said it multiple times.
Like in every sketch.
I thought it was funny.
I mean, I thought it was funny too. And I thought it was so funny that it's like, I'm Eddie Murphy. What are you going to do about it? Like, nothing. I mentioned this already, but Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde stayed on the floor to watch the show. And if you follow Olivia Wilde on Twitter, she posted that she got one of the books that, what's his name, Velvet Jones, mm-hmm. had like held up, you know, in part of the Black Jeopardy sketch. So Jason got that for her. Also, this show had so many celebs in attendance. I cannot even...
I mean, not even the ones that were... cameo stars. Right, not even guests. This was just people that were at the show.
Right.
We're going to name, there was so many, we're going to name a few.
I didn't see these two first ones. We heard that Kim and Kanye were at dress rehearsal. I didn't see them. We heard it from a reliable source. Apparently Gayle King was also there, but I didn't see her. I mean, but apparently she was there. The ones that I personally saw, we were also told John Hamm was there. The ones that I personally saw were Questlove, Michelle Wolfe, Natasha Lyonne, Chloe Sevigny, Keegan-Michael Key, Spike Lee, and then, like, obviously Olivia Wilde. And then we also saw a picture of Jay Farrow, like, downstairs. I almost ran into Keegan-Michael Key leaving the building.
We both ran into Natasha Lyonne in front of our faces.
It literally, oh my god,
that was one of my top, like, ever moments of being starstruck.
Well, yeah.
Because it was Natasha Lyonne. Hello. Like, I love her so much.
I know. And I had just gotten...
Right in front of my face, her hair is big and red as ever. Like, oh my god. I think my soul left my body.
Yeah. I had...
It did.
I know. I had just gotten separated from the group, so I was by myself, and Jill tells me, and it had to have been true, because of when I saw her, but like, I don't know, like 10 seconds after I left, Natasha Lyonne, like, is in front of Jill and our friends. And then, you know, so Jill says hi or whatever, whatever. But I was by myself. I had no support system whatsoever when I turned around and I was eye to eye with her. And I was like, am I supposed to do with that?
I was also eye to eye with her. It was a lot.
I know, but at least you had, like, Aubrey and Linnea and Margot to...
I did. We were all equally as... All of us were like... Oh my god.
I had nobody to say oh my god to.
That was like, I mean, I see a lot of people at SNL and that's really cool, but like someone you really, really, really love and that you weren't expecting and is just right there is like a lot.
Like,
I mean,
not
I
even
was
on the show, but like in just in a room you don't
and
expect.
And sometimes it takes me a couple seconds or minutes to like know who someone is, but I mean like it was a split second I looked at her and I said, that is Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah, and she came in with Chloe Sevigny. I guess they're friends.
Oh, dude, that was, oh my god, it was so much.
It was so much.
There
I agree.
There was so many celebrities there. That's not even half the people that were there.
I know, it was crazy, crazy. But it was a legendary show, so.
The last of the decade.
How about the line? It was good. It was cold, but it was good.
Yeah, it was the coldest one we've done yet. It was freezing, frigid.
Yeah, I mean, and that's literally, it was like 23 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 10 degrees under freezing.
One night, we have a pretty good system set up so we stay warm, and we stay mostly warm enough that, well, we stay warm enough that, like, it creates condensation on our tarp. And so one morning we woke up and, you know, there was the normal condensation on the tarp, so we got out of our bed. And when, like, we came back, like, I don't know, from going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was so cold that the condensation on the tarp had froze into snow, and there was snow on top of our comforter.
That's a real story.
Wild.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. We had to shake the snow off of our blankets.
The cold kept away a significant amount of people. The line did not
grow until the morning, probably
Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it was
significantly.
I think it was what, like 80 people ish went at around 12 or 1 on Saturday morning, yeah. Friday night. And then everybody kind of showed up with just their coats like at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so, but it was a good line. Absolutely no problems. Great line.
Yeah. SNL gave out a very nice Christmas gift.
Oh, yes.
Happy very holidays from gift. SNL. Bowen and Chloe came out and gave the first 20 people in line tickets, like guaranteed reservation tickets to the live show. That is unheard of.
Unheard of. I mean, I've heard of, like, Bill Hader came out and he gave out, like, the first that five was, people
yeah, that
in
was
line.
2018?
Yeah, 17, I don't know. And then, you know, last season they did the things where, like,
yeah,
they
would
give...
Yeah, it wasn't last year, it was the year before. So it was 2017 for the St. Patrick's Day show. He gave out five.
Yeah. And I've seen them, you know, last season at the beginning of the season, not the end, the beginning, the pages came out and they did the, like, random, like, two people in line won tickets to the show. And
right.
Once in a while before, maybe I've seen that. I have never, and our friends who have been going for years and years and years said they never, ever saw anything like that. They had never gotten anything like that. And, you know, like, people have done this hundreds of times, never seen that. So this was a massive deal. And
it was,
you know,
amazing.
I don't know
SNL,
what the reason was, but, like, my God.
Yeah.
They really, like, thank you to all you guys know who you were who did it. So thank you.
Yeah. Whoever orchestrated it, like, that's an incredible, incredible thing. And
you really, like, I know it's like whatever because you guys work there. If anyone's listening, you guys work there. But, like, for the people in line, not just because it was cold, but, like, for the people in line who are fans that do this, like, you really, like, created a, like, memory for them that they will literally never forget.
Yeah, like, the people who won tickets, their names are on an official reservation list at NBC, and that's incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, you work there every day, you see it, it's not a big deal, but, like I said, to these people, it was a massive, massive deal. Like, that was so, so, like, amazing that they did that.
Above and beyond, truly.
They did not need to do that.
No.
20 people?
I know. That's a lot of tickets, bro.
Yeah, and Bowen and Chloe came out, and they were the sweetest to everyone.
They're so kind all of the time. Our friend Nancy and our friend DeVito got a cute, cute picture with Bowen and Chloe.
I mean, that was so amazing. Thank you, SNL. I'm going to say on behalf of the 20 people.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys.
On behalf of the Standby Line, like, as an entity, but also as a podcast, just thank you for
thinking of us.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Like, you don't have to think about us like that.
Right.
But
I think it definitely, amongst the regulars, like, boosted morale, because it's not easy. I mean, this is the most amount of shows we've ever done consecutively. I think before the season it was 3. So now we just did 10, and I know that you and I were getting tired.
Yeah, our bodies were, I'm sick, like, yeah, our bodies were hurting, our sleep was...
We haven't been able to have a life, really, because we travel in from out of state.
And, you know, like, we're not just, like, bums who come and do this, like, we both have full-time jobs and stuff going on in our lives, and we do this because we genuinely love SNL so much. Like, it's not just like, oh, I'm bored, I'm gonna go do this because it's free and it's fun. It's I love this show so much. If I didn't love this show, I wouldn't be doing the Standby Line, because that process is a hard one.
It is hard, especially in the dead of winter. So it means
the world.
It means so much. And just thank you again to SNL. Just anyone who orchestrated and okayed it, just thank you so much. It means a lot to, you know, the Standby Line. It really does. Anyway, now that we're done gushing.
No, but I really just, like, I mean, on the off chance that, like, somebody does listen to this podcast, whoever you are, if you know the person, please, like, tell them
that we stan them.
Like, on behalf of the Standby Line, just please tell them, like, how wonderful that was and how much, like, it was very appreciated and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, what else? Not a lot. It was very crowded on 49th Street around Rockefeller. It was madness. Oh
my God, I cannot wait to go back in January and all that's gone.
I know. So it was the last weekend before Christmas, so everybody wanted to see the Rockefeller tree. Does the tree come down after New Year's?
I hope it's gone right now. I hope it's, I don't know.
Okay, well.
I hope it's gone right now.
Scroogey McGee over here.
I hate that tree, man. I hate that tree.
I mean, it was wild.
It caused so much chaos this month.
It really did. But anyway, that's really the only bad thing I can say, because we figured out how to get warm and all of that. So Line was good this week. I had a good time at Line.
Mm-hmm. Besides the cold, it was really fun.
Yeah, it was. Let me see. Let me scroll in. Let's find ourselves.
Are you going to talk about our friend Miss Strong?
Okay, so that was that. Let's see. We lost our bag in an Uber.
That was fun.
In a Lyft, actually. What's up, Lyft? No, Lyft itself really tried to help us out. It was just
Lyft, if you want us to do commercials for you, I'll take that back.
What about a sponsorship, Lyft? How about that? So yeah, we lost our bag in a Lyft, and we were kind of just like, all right, well, if that's the price we have to pay in order to, you know, get this shit done, that's fine. Then we went to the show. After the show, DeVito got a picture with Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, congrats, Kate McKinnon.
For meeting DeVito. Hello. He's the best.
That was a big deal. That must have been a big deal for her, because he's like a big celebrity in there.
Yeah. Excuse me. DeVito, like everybody in the building knows DeVito. He was posted on SNL's official page.
I'm pretty sure more people know DeVito than, but you know.
Than Kate McKinnon.
DeVito's a big star.
Yeah. And then
we had a nice interaction with Cecily Strong.
Yeah, we had a good interaction with Cecily. She was there with her friend Jen Lyon, who is on the TV show Claws. And we had a good interaction with both of them. Yeah, so they were both wearing flower crowns.
That Jen made.
As you do.
Yeah, we're not going to go into details because, you know, private life, people, personal right. stuff. But
we had a nice little chat. We had a good chat with our friend who works on the show. I don't know. It was a good night. It was a nice way to round out the year. I hit my 30 shows mark. What number? So that's your 35. Because you're 5 ahead of me. Mm-hmm. What was Aubrey's? Aubrey, what number was yours?
Producer Aubrey?
Yeah.
Oh, Producer Aubrey says hers was 33.
So, I mean, that's...
Because she's 2 behind me.
Wow. That was a very Cecily wow.
She told me once, you better not miss 2 shows because I'm coming for you.
That's funny. So she's 2 behind you and 3 ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was our experience. It ruled. I would rate it 4.75 out of 5 stars because we lost the bag.
I would rate it 5 out of 5. Fuck that bag. Like, I do not care about the bag.
Fuck that bag.
With everything we got, I don't care about the bag, dude. Like, that was 5 out of
That's
5.
That's true.
That was 10 out of 5. I am so grateful for everything. I can't thank enough people and be... like more grateful. Like we said, the show means so much to us and we love it so much, and the cast members and everybody, and it just means a lot for us to get to see it and experience it. And yeah, I'm super grateful for everything we've gotten this season and this year.
I absolutely agree.
This decade, even though I started in 2016, so you know, it wasn't that long, but
still.
Yeah,
I'm super
grateful.
Yeah, it turns out Jill the Grinch's heart just grew 3 sizes.
It did, when I think about everything that people at SNL have done for us.
Yeah, and they've done a lot.
Yeah.
A lot that they didn't have to do. So, all right, let's see here. I found the title says 10 out of 10 recommend. It's from Gayweed.
Gayweed.
What's up, Gayweed? Gayweed says... Gayweed says, love the podcast and these girlies. Thanks, Gayweed.
Gayweed, that's pretty basic.
Leave Gayweed alone.
I love Gayweed.
I also love Gayweed. So thanks for that review, Gayweed. Next week we will read another review. You know, so if you want...
No, I don't think there's going to be an episode next week. I think you guys are going to have to wait till January. To be quite honest, we're going away for...
Yeah, she's right.
So, January.
But we'll do...
We're taking a break.
Oh, but what we are going to do is we are going to read Standby Line experiences on an off week. So, before the show comes back in January, which that's going to be exciting. Adam Driver and Halsey.
Yeah, and maybe so you guys don't forget about us until we come back in January, yeah. We'll do a giveaway.
Maybe so.
Because we have some stuff. So maybe we'll do a giveaway instead of doing a new episode.
Happy New Year, hoes.
Yep.
So if you have an experience that you want us to read on our very next off-week episode, send it to snlstandbyline@gmail.com and we will get that shit on the air. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to us on your podcast listening platforms, whatever they may be. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StandByLine. You can also visit us online at snlstandbyline.com. You've been listening to The Standby Line. I mean, I hope you and Doug have a great holiday season.
Have a good, happy holidays, everybody, and happy new year.
I love you, Doug.
We'll see you in 2020.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.